the blue light from my phone is the only thing in the room. I keep the brightness at 10%. Even that feels like a beacon. My curtains are pinned to the window frames with duct tape. I do not want a single sliver of light escaping to the street. Outside, Indianapolis is quiet. It is 3 in the morning. This is the time when the emails usually stop. This is the time when the forum threads go dormant. I sit on the floor of my hallway. It is the only place in the apartment without a window. I am a journalist. I am 34 years old, and I am currently being erased by the very laws meant to protect me. 3 months ago, the 2026 online harassment legislation passed. We called it the SHIELD Act. It was supposed to be the end of the digital Wild West. It criminalized doxing with federal teeth. It promised to unmask the trolls who hide behind encrypted VPNs. I stood in the press gallery when the governor signed the state version. I felt a sense of relief. I had spent 6 years reporting on extremist recruitment in the Midwest. I had seen what these groups do to women. I had seen the staged protests. I had seen the coordinated swatting calls. I thought the law was my new armor. I was wrong. The law is not a shield. It is a mirror. And my enemies have learned how to break it. It started with a routine investigation. I found a cluster of private servers. They were being used to coordinate harassment campaigns against local school board members. I did my job. I verified the IP addresses. I confirmed the identities of the moderators. I published the report on a Tuesday. By Wednesday morning, my home address was pinned to the top of a dozen message boards. By Thursday, I was served with a cease and desist. Not from the extremists, from their lawyers. They claimed my reporting violated the 2026 Act. They said, by identifying private citizens without consent, I was the one engaging in felony harassment. I look at the stack of legal papers on my floor. They are heavy. They represent the death of my career. My editor told me to go dark. The paper's legal team is terrified. The new law is so broad that intent to cause emotional distress is a subjective standard. The men I exposed are claiming I caused them distress. They are claiming my journalism put their families at risk. It is a reversal of reality. It is a perfect weapon. If I write about them, I go to jail. If I stay silent, they win. I am choosing silence tonight. But the silence is loud. It hums in the walls of this apartment. My phone vibrates against the floorboards. I don't want to pick it up. My heart hammers against my ribs. It is a physical pain now. My chest feels tight every time a notification pings. I reach out and flip the phone over. It is a text from an unknown number. It is a photo of my front door. The photo was taken 5 minutes ago. I can tell because the delivery box I left out there this afternoon is visible in the frame. There is no message, just the image. They are showing me they are here. They are showing me that the shield does not exist. I crawl to the front door on my hands and knees. I do not want to pass the windows. I press my ear against the wood. I hear nothing but the hum of the hallway light. I am breathing too fast. I try to slow it down. I count to 4. In. Hold out. My hands are shaking. I check the deadbolt. It is locked. I check the chain. It is secure. I go back to the hallway. I sit on the floor again. I am a prisoner, in a space. I pay $1,500 a month for. I remember why I started this work. I wanted to be a witness. I wanted to show the world the mechanics of hate. I grew up in a town where people didn't talk about these things. We ignored the flyers on the windshields. We ignored the graffiti on the overpass. I thought words were the cure. I thought if people saw the truth would act as a disinfectant. Now I realize the truth is just fuel. They take my words and they twist them. They take my name and they turn it into a slur. Yesterday, I tried to log into my bank account. My password didn't work. I called the fraud department. They told me my identity was being verified due to suspicious activity. Someone had filed a report using the new legislation. They claimed I was using my funds to finance doxing operations. The bank froze everything. I have $42 in cash in my wallet. I have half a box of cereal in the kitchen. I have a car with a quarter tank of gas. I am being deplatformed from my own life. The 2026 laws were supposed to stop the witch hunts. That is what the senators said. They talked about protecting the vulnerable. They talked about civility in the digital age. But they didn't account for the bad actors. They didn't realize that a law against online harm could be used to stop a journalist from asking questions. If the questions make someone uncomfortable, is that harm? Under the new statute, the answer is yes. And harm is a felony. I hear a sound from the kitchen, a soft thud. I freeze. I don't breathe. I listen. It sounds like something hitting the glass, a rock, or maybe just the building settling. I wait for the second sound. It doesn't come. My mind starts to play tricks on me. I see shadows moving under the door. I imagine people in the vents. This is what they want. They don't have to kill me. They just have to make me lose my mind. They want me to be the crazy woman who saw ghosts in the machine. I open my laptop. I shouldn't. The legal team told me to stay offline. But I need to see. I log into a secondary account. I use a browser I've never used before. I go to the forums. My name is everywhere. There is a thread with 4,000 replies. They are sharing my high school photos. They are listing my mother's phone number. They are discussing my crimes. One user says I deserve to be processed. Another says the new law is the best thing that ever happened to their movement. They are using the government to do their dirty work. I feel a wave of nausea. I close the laptop. I put my head between my knees. I am a white woman with a college degree and a professional network. If this is happening to me, what is happening to the women who don't have a platform? What happens to the activists who don't have a legal team? They are being swallowed whole. The internet is becoming a dark room where only the bullies are allowed to speak. I think about leaving. I could drive south. I could go to my aunt's place in Kentucky. But they would follow me. They have my license plate. They have my VIN. They have the GPS coordinates of my car. There is no away anymore. The 2026 world is a grid. Every point on the grid is tracked. Every movement is a data point. I am a dot on their map. They are watching the dot move. The vibration starts again. This time it is a phone call. It is a local number. I answer it. I don't know why. Maybe I just want to hear a human voice. Even a cruel one. Hello? I say. My voice is thin. It sounds like it belongs to someone else. There is silence on the other end. Then, the sound of breathing. Slow. Deliberate. We see you, Leah, a voice says. It is a man's voice. He sounds calm. He sounds like a neighbor. What do you want? I ask. I want you to admit it, he says. Admit you broke the law. Admit you harassed us. Write the retraction. I won't do that, I say. I have the evidence. I have the chat logs. He laughs. It is a short, dry sound. The logs don't matter, Leah. The law matters. And the law says you hurt us. You made us feel unsafe. That's a crime now. Didn't you hear? We're the victims. I hang up. My heart is a frantic bird in a cage. He's right. In the eyes of the court, the person who reports the crime is now the criminal. The definition of online safety has been hijacked. It is no longer about protection. It is about control. I look at the clock. 4:12 a.m. The sun will be up soon. I need to make a choice. I can stay here and wait for the police to knock. They will come eventually. They will have a warrant for my devices. They will cite the 2026 Act. They will take my laptop. They will take my notes. They will hand them over to the victims as part of the discovery process. My sources will be exposed. My work will be destroyed. Or I can run. I grab a backpack. I don't pack clothes. I pack hard drives. I pack the physical notebooks I kept. I pack the $42. I look at my apartment. This was my home. I liked the high ceilings. I liked the way the light hit the brick in the afternoon. Now it's just a trap. I go to the kitchen. I take my phone and I put it in the microwave. I turn it on for 10 seconds. The screen sparks. The electronics fry. I can't take it with me. It's a tracking beacon. I leave it there, a piece of dead glass and plastic. I move to the back door. It leads to the service stairs. I don't use the elevator. The cameras in the elevator are linked to the cloud. I don't want my face on a server tonight. I walk down 6 flights of stairs in the dark. My legs feel heavy. Every floor feels like a mile. When I reach the alley, the air is cold. It smells like wet asphalt and garbage. I stay close to the wall. I look for the black SUV. I look for the men with the cameras. I see nothing. Just a stray cat darting under a dumpster. I walk 3 blocks to a parking garage where I don't usually park. I have a second set of keys to a car that isn't mine. It belongs to a friend who moved to London. She left it in long-term storage. I pay the bill for her. I've never driven it. I find the car. It's an old Toyota. It's dusty. It doesn't have a smart dashboard. It doesn't have a built-in GPS. It is a relic of a time before the grid was perfect. I get in. The engine turns over with a groan. It's loud. In the quiet of the garage, it sounds like a gunshot. I wait. Nobody comes. I drive out of the garage. I don't turn on my headlights until I'm on the street. I head toward the interstate. I am not going to Kentucky. I am going to disappear. As I drive, I see the digital billboards along the highway. They are glowing with public service announcements. Keep our internet safe, they say. Report online harassment. Follow the 2026 standards. I grip the steering wheel until my knuckles turn white. The irony is a physical weight. I am a journalist who is fleeing her own country's laws. I am a woman who is being hunted by victim protection. I realize then that I can never go back. Not to my job, not to my name. If I surface, they will use the law to bury me. My career is an irreversible casualty. My reputation is a permanent stain in a database somewhere. I am 34 years old, and my life as Leah Thorne is over. I reach the city limits. I look in the rearview mirror. Indianapolis is a cluster of lights fading into the gray of dawn. I think about the files in my bag. I think about the stories that will never be told now. The extremists didn't need to burn the books. They just needed to pass a law that made the books illegal to write. I turn off the interstate, onto a state road. I drive into the trees. I don't know where I'm going. I just know I have to keep moving. The digital world is a web, and I am the fly that got away. But the web is still there. It's growing. It's getting stronger. And eventually, it will cover everything. I am a ghost now. I am a whisper. I am the silence that remains when the truth is no longer allowed to be spoken. I keep driving. The sun starts to break over the horizon. It's a new day in 2026. The world is safer now, they say. The world is cleaner. I look at the empty road ahead of me. I don't feel safe, I feel nothing at all.